Will you see Jesus? Will you see the face of the Lord? Will you have a face-to-face encounter with God? Will you just see the hand of God? Hallelujah. So ask yourself, are there any hindrances to your experiencing God on this mountain? Are there any hindrances to you seeing his promises and his provision and you experiencing for yourself his tangible presence? Reverend Stratford said on the first night, for those of us who weren't here, that we must position ourselves and prepare ourselves so that we will not miss our appointed time with God. Hallelujah. Then Reverend Tammy came and said that the Spirit of God descending upon our hearts is about transformation. And when she said that, I'm like, wow, you know, God did say that to me, you know. So I said, Lord, you are confirming your word. And, you know, she said also that transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a process. So let's remember those takeaways from, you know, Reverend Yvonne Stratford, Reverend Tammy Stratford, and take it with us as we leave this mountain. Amen. All right. So I'm sure that for those of us who have been here since Wednesday, God has already begun to do some work in us. And so another question I want to put forward to you is that what you need to ask yourself is this: what will this come away with me experience be for you personally? And it's a question for me as well. I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself as well. So will this be, so I say it again, what will this come away with me experience mean for you personally? Will it be the place where you wrestle and prevail like Jacob? Will you leave here limping, as Reverend Stratford said? Will it be for you a place of transformation? A place where you receive a new name and discover your true identity in Christ? Where the former things are passed away and you begin to walk in newness of life, walking in a new dimension and walking in a higher purpose? The God who has called you and chosen you desires to do a new thing in your life. As it says in Isaiah 40, verses 18 and 19, God says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. For I, God, is getting ready to do a new thing in your life, and you shall surely see it. Hallelujah. Open your eyes and see through the eyes of faith what God is about to do for you on this mountain. Hallelujah. Let this be a place of total surrender. Let every idol be dethroned from your heart so that the King of Kings, the Sovereign Lord, may reign supreme from the throne of your heart. So when I was reflecting on this theme of this retreat, I could not get a handle on it. You know, Sister Jewel told me a couple of months ago, and, you know, she said maybe you should say something, but I couldn't get a handle on it. But as things were looking, things began looking very, very dim for me getting here. And then suddenly I realized I just cannot get here. It's impossible for me to be here. There's too many things happening at my house, too many things happening. I didn't see it happening at all. I got sick, I came down with a COVID and all that. And in the midst of that, just last week, the Lord says, I felt the Lord just pressing me. You need to press through. You need to press through to go, push to go. So, you know, my husband didn't really want me to leave because we have a lot going on. I'm on the major constructions, just a lot of crazy stuff. So anyways, I said, you know, God, I'm going to push. And he came home and I said, you know, honey, I really believe that God wants me to go on this mountain. And lo and behold, he said, yeah, just go. I could have bet my last dollar he was going to say, no, you can't go. He said, you know, too many things are happening. So I said that, okay, fine. But so then, you know, I stopped thinking about the theme because I'm off the hook. I don't have to speak. So then God said, go. You have to go. So then I started thinking about the theme again, but I'm still not speaking because I canceled out already. But as the Lord prompted me, I started thinking again about the theme. And like Reverend Tammy said, you know, yesterday, a few questions started popping in my mind right away. Why should the Spirit of God descend upon my heart? As I said before, I couldn't make heads or tails from it. But those questions started coming. Why should the Spirit of God descend upon my heart? How will this happen? What will the result be? What's the purpose? Why? How? What? I believe that one reason for the why is that we need continual renewal to accomplish the will of God. I'm going to say it again. We need continual renewal so that God can accomplish his will in us and through us. Some of us are burnt out and fatigued, frustrated and battle-weary, afraid, depressed, ready to give up. You may be on the run like Elijah, but you cannot give up now. He promises to refresh and to satisfy the weary soul and to replenish the faint. That's in Jeremiah 31:25. God promises to refresh and to satisfy the weary soul and to replenish the faint. O Spirit of the living God, descend upon our hearts. Descend upon our hearts, Spirit of God. We need fresh fire. We need a refreshing. And Sister Jewel said this, Sister Marjorie said it. God is just doing something here. We need that refreshing. We need renewal in the spirit, in soul, in body. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds by the living word of God. We need the living, active, powerful word of God. It divides the soul from the spirit because we've got to get out of the soul realm and start living in the spirit. As Sister Jewel just said, the flesh must die. The flesh must die daily. Crucify the flesh daily. Buffet yourself. Hallelujah. People of God, we need to repent of our idolatry so that the times of refreshing may come upon us. We have to go to the cross. We have to repent. Repent of all the idols, everything that is sitting on the throne of our heart, that is not God. There's only room for one, and that's for God. He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings. That place belongs to him. It's a sacred spot. So, you have to, and somebody spoke of this before, you have to remove those things. You have to clean your house, you have to empty yourself. Repent of your idolatry. So the times of refreshing may come upon us. We need strength for the journey ahead of us. We need a refreshing for the new commission, for the new assignment that God is about to release to you. But you say, how will this happen? How will this happen? Being positioned and prepared for our appointed time require complete surrender. Sister Jewel just said it. Complete surrender, desiring God above everything else. We have sung the songs, I Surrender All. I was going to ask for it. She sung it. Hallelujah. God set it all up. We sung it. Yesterday, the brother Scott took us through, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. That has to be the prayer of our heart. May the Spirit of grace transform us so that this will indeed be the passion of our hearts and the purpose of our lives. And the last question to consider is the what. What? What will the result be when the Spirit of God descends upon our heart? God's purpose is to establish his kingdom in your life. In your life, in my life. That's his purpose. He wants to reign in you and he wants to reign through you, R-E-I-G-N. He wants to reign in you and reign through you. Listen to this. I was driving Tuesday afternoon. We were running around trying to get things together here. I was coming back from the mall and I was talking to my sister on the phone. I was trying to walk her through an online transaction that I was doing. And in the midst of that, I suddenly heard the word Malchut. Pardon the pronunciation, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I do look up root meanings from time to time. But so here I was driving, and I thought, what's God, you're trying to tell me something now, right now? And but I knew it was a Hebrew word, but I had no reference point. I had no connotation. I just drew a blank. But I knew that God was saying something to me. I knew that there was a message in this. So I looked it up late Tuesday night, you know. This Hebrew word is mentioned about Malchut, M-A-L-C-H-U-T. It's mentioned about 80 times in the Old Testament, and it has to do with the sovereignty, the kingdom, and the kingship. Okay, so the sovereignty or the lordship of God, simplified, is this: the rule and reign of God in his creation. Amen? So the lordship, the sovereignty of God, is simply the rule and reign of God in his creation, in your life, in my life. One Bible scholar notes that the major components of the biblical concept of divine sovereignty are God's control, God's authority, and God's presence. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 65, 9 to 11. That's Psalm 65, verses 9 through 11. And it says this: Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it. The river of God is full of water. Thou providest them grain when thou hast so prepared the earth. Thou waterest it with forests abundantly. Thou settlest the ridges thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness, which means abundance. And over in Psalm 135, verses 6 and 7, it says, whatsoever Jehovah pleased, whatsoever God pleased, that hath he done in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deeps, who causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, who maketh lightnings for the rain, who bringeth forth the wind out of his treasuries. That's Psalm 135, 6 and 7. So he is the God of all creation, and because he's God of all creation, he's Lord over all creation. He is the great I am that I am. He is the Yahweh of Exodus 3:14. His divine name, Yahweh, indicates his sovereign rule over and above all claims of human kingship. God wants to reign from the throne of your heart. A surrendered heart invites the king to come and establish his kingdom in you. The heart of a surrendered soul cries, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me and through me on the earth and in as it is in heaven." Hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. As I was reflecting on this in the wee hours of the morning, just, you know, a few hours ago, I suddenly, the Lord just brought this back to my remembrance, you know, when I, a few weeks after I just rededicated my life to Christ, you know, years ago, I had this vision. It was the strangest thing. I had this vision that I was, where I was battling these demons in the area where I grew up. I was so afraid walking in this particular area, in the natural. When I was back home, I was always afraid. All the children were afraid walking in this area. It was dark. There was a lot of coffee trees around. There was a big curve. There was a cotton tree. And we were all afraid, you know. So here I was in this vision. And I was right there, and I was fighting these demons. And Jesus appeared to me and said, "This is not what I want you to do. I want you to go back to Calvary." So I woke up out of this dream, and I was so puzzled, man. I was perplexed. Just imagine, you know, I was drifting far away from God these 4 years. And, you know, suddenly the Lord drew me back to him. And I rededicated my life to the Lord. And the very next week, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And now I have this vision. It's like, go back to Calvary? So it just didn't make any sense to me. So I was praying about it and asking the Lord, you know, "God, what do you mean? Father, what is this? What do you mean? I don't understand." So that same week, you know, the time I was in, I had a sales position. So my sales job took me out of state for a few days. And as it happened, you know, I was there about 4 days. The last client that I saw was a spirit-filled Christian woman who had a lot of godly wisdom. And you know, she found it, I told my story. She was just ministering to me and sharing her testimony. She had a great testimony. So we're there, you know. And then, so it's like the Lord quickened me about the dream. And said, share that dream with her. So I shared the dream with her. And then we were sitting at the dining table, and she took this notepad, and she quickly wrote down the ABCs of salvation. We're all saved. We know what that is. You know, acknowledge, believe, confess. You know, but you know, there was a fourth dimension. She wrote down, make him Lord and Savior of your life. So immediately, before she could even say anything, I realized the missing component of my life that was causing me to live, you know, defeated, frustrated Christian experience. So, you see, friends, you know, we all love the Savior part. But nobody's that thrilled about the Lordship part of the equation, you know. Many of us have a problem with the Lordship portion. We want to be in control. We want, you know, you're saying, I want my way to be God's way. But it just cannot and will not work like that. God's way has to become our way. We cannot be the master of our own destiny, people. We are not our own. My mother always sung that song, I'm not my own, I belong to Jesus. We were bought with a price, not with filthy lucre, but with his own precious blood he ransomed us. We belong to Jesus. Surrender, abandon yourself to the Lord. Accepting God's plan and purpose for your life must be paramount as we seek his face on this mountain. Hallelujah. Now, the second component of this, of God's sovereignty, is authority. And that is kingdom authority. We are subject to kingdom authority. Hallelujah. Can we all say that? I am subject to kingdom authority. Hallelujah. God is the king. I am the subject. Hallelujah. The sovereignty of God commands obedience. My friends, to obey, the scripture says, is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, that is submission, than the fat of rams. For the scriptures say that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Hallelujah. So you walk in the house of God, or you, wherever you are, and you walking in rebellion, it is witchcraft. You're operating under a spirit of witchcraft. It is a sin before God. It's abominable. And we have to depart from these things if we want the Spirit of the Lord to fall afresh upon us and to descend upon us and transform us. And it continues to say that stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's 1 Samuel 15, 22 to 23. Praise God. So, folks, a surrendered heart accepts and embraces the king, his kingship, and his dominion. I'll say it again. A surrendered heart accepts and embraces the king, his kingship, and his dominion. One theologian puts it like this. Because he is Lord, his authority is absolute. He's saying, because Elohim is Yahweh, his authority is absolute. Hallelujah. There is no argument. Hallelujah. Let's look at a few scriptures together. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6. Okay, you can go on your smartphone, your Bible, whatever. Deuteronomy 4, verse 6. Hallelujah. It says, hear, O Israel, Jehovah, or God, is one Jehovah, one God. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon your heart. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6:46. And then we'll look at John 14:21. That's John 14:21. And it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, He it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. That is why we're here. We want God to manifest himself unto us. That is the theme. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Manifest yourself in me and through me. Turn over to Matthew 7, 21 and 22. That's Matthew 7, 21 and 22. Praise God. And it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? Luke 6:46 says this, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Let's pause. This is a Selah moment, people. Let's pause and calmly think about that. So we're talking about kingship, the sovereignty of God in our lives. We have to make it personal. Hallelujah. The last component of this sovereignty that we'll look at is his united covenant with us. And that is expressed in his presence. So we have God's control, God's authority, and God's presence. God's presence in us, and, you know, with us. Because he's Emmanuel, God with us. Turn over to Exodus 6:7. That's Exodus 6:7. Exodus 6:7, and it says, and I will take you to me for a people. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am Jehovah your God, who bringeth you out from the under the burdens of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6:16. We're just establishing the word. 2 Corinthians 6:16, it says, and what agreement hath a temple of God? That is you and me. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Hallelujah. So God's covenant, his covenant comes with his blessings. Hallelujah. His covenant comes with his blessings, and it includes his correction and his chastisement. You go ahead and say it. It includes his correction and his chastisement. You see, a lot of us just want the blessing, but we don't want to be corrected, and we don't want to be disciplined. As soon as somebody says something to you with a word of correction, we get all puffed up. Some of us leave, huh? And we talk manner of things about the leaders and whatnot. But, you know, the word is here for correction, for rebuke, so that the man of God will be thoroughly furnished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Remember that scripture, Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourgeth every son, every daughter whom he receives. Hallelujah. God dwelled among the children of Israel in the tabernacle of his glorious presence. He's always about the presence. Emmanuel, God with us. He sent his one and only son to die on the cross for us. John 1:14 says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. We are his temple. We are his dwelling place. He sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in you and to dwell in me. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts. So here we are, beautiful people of God. Here we are on this mountain, beseeching the Spirit of God to descend upon our hearts. repenting of our idolatry, surrendering all to Jesus. Let's just all say it again. All to Jesus I surrender. Hallelujah. I surrender all. Praise his name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So accepting God's plan and purpose for your life must be paramount as we seek his face on this mountain. And as we get off this mountain and resume our lives, let us not forget, as this Joel said last year, let us keep the fire burning. Let's keep oil in our lamps. Let's keep the wood on the altar. Let the fire not go out. Hallelujah. Allow God to work out in you the process of transformation he has initiated here on this mountain. Allow him to do it. Allow him to have his perfect way in you. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. You're not alone in this. You've got the Holy Spirit. He's come alongside you. He's going to yoke up with you. Don't run ahead of him. Don't lag behind him. Be in tandem with him. Hallelujah. Just be yoked up with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise him. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Glory. Hallelujah. So my friends, God is fully invested in your success. You say that loud. God is fully invested in my success. Amen. What he says, he will do. So do not sabotage or hinder what God is doing. Do not delay your own progress. Amen. Know that he who began a good work in you, it is a good work, people. He who began a good work in you will perform it, he will perfect it, and he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 So the questions are here. Is your heart prepared to embrace the King, his kingdom, and his lordship? Is your heart prepared to embrace the King, his kingdom, and his lordship? God wants to establish his kingdom in you and his kingdom in me. Hallelujah. God wants to establish his kingdom in you, in your bloodline, so that when you transition this life, he will continue to reign in your posterity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll just close out with Psalm 97. It says, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord bless you. And I pray that these words, you know, the Holy Spirit will do a work in you, this word, and that this word will bear fruit in your life, and that you will be transformed leaving this place. Hallelujah. She practically forced me up here.
Sister Rose, God bless you. I see the transformation, the transfiguration. Hallelujah. God has his remnants for this end days, and he's raising them up. Like I said before, we may not be known on Twitter, we may not be known on Instagram, but you know what? We're known in heaven. And we're also known in hell. Because we're here to depopulate hell and populate heaven. So as we're wrapping up, we're going to ask you to turn to your hymn books. We want to sing Standing on the Promises of God. Hymn number 215. And I'm going to ask, the professionals to please. So please, the ones that God gave the oil to lead us in worship. We would just have our joyful voice. But, you know, God recognizes our joyful noise, right? Because he gave it to us, right? Hallelujah. Thank you. So let's rise upon our feet. We're going to go to breakfast. And can we please hymn number 215. Do you all have your hymn books? No? Okay. This is very important. This song is very important for all of us. Let me just loan some hymn books.